profound truth will shine so bright. With insight and knowledge we explore the wisdom of scripture, opening doors. Insight, knowledge, wisdom too. Discovering the truth that's meant for you. Join the journey, let your spirit soar. That profound truth, there's so much more. Through culture and history we roam, finding God's purpose, making it our home. With every lesson, we'll grow and thrive. In grace and love, we come alive. Yeah. Insight, knowledge, wisdom too. Discovering the truth that's meant for you. Join the journey, let your spirit soar. That profound truth, there's so much more. Embrace the journey. Come and see. Together in faith, we'll set our spirits free.
Hello, welcome everybody. This is Profound Truth. My name is Ignacio, and today we have a beautiful episode. And before we jump into this episode, of course, we need to pray. And my brother Ernie is in the house. Hello, brother Ernie. How are you doing, brother?
Good. I'm doing good, Ignacio. How about you?
Very good, brother. Good. Very good.
Good.
God is so good.
Amen.
So let's pray and
let's dive into
this amazing topic.
Let's go. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Once again, Lord, for another day. Thank you for another episode. Thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to share some wisdom, to share some information, some knowledge, some insight about you, Lord. Thank you for just allowing us to do these things, Lord, because everything that we do is a gift and a blessing from you, Lord, and we thank you for it, and we honor you for it, Lord, and we ask that you be with us as we speak tonight on this topic, Lord. Help us to get the message through clearly, and for everyone listening and watching, or that's going to listen or watch later, to be able to understand and to hear everything that's being said here tonight, Lord, and give us the wisdom and guide us as we speak here tonight, Lord, and We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We give you all glory, all praise, all honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And I was trying to see if my Lothars can come in, but I guess they cannot. So today we have a fabulous episode. It's more about Jesus. Let me see if I can pronounce this word. Can you? Let me see if I can see it. Jesus, hold on. Let me see if I can see the title. Okay, it's coming. All right. Jesus, the recapitulation of Israel. And what do we mean by that? It's a synonym of recap, you know. Yeah. Basically, what we're trying to say it is, you know, in Isaiah, I believe Isaiah 50 plus, there is a Bible verse that, the prophet said that Jesus was called Israel. And the reason why Jesus is being called Israel is because Israel as a nation was considered God child, but because they failed, guess what? Somebody had to do what they failed on, and that's what we're going to be diving in this amazing episode, you know. So if you want to learn something, if you want to let the Holy Spirit to guide you into this amazing presentation, I think you would enjoy it. And just before we dive into this topic, brother, you know that today we have an amazing community service from the church.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did. We had the health and wellness fair at our church. Yes. At the Fellowship, Texas City.
Yeah. So we provide, I was on the prayer team. I call them the warrior prayer.
The prayer warriors.
Yeah, the prayer warrior. And the reason what I call them is because, you know, when you're praying, you always have to be in connection with the Lord. Be guards, not just for the physical, but for the spiritual, you know, because we are fighting this battle, brother.
Amen, amen. And the prayers are powerful, and I mean, the enemy knows that, and so we have to be ready, because we're praying for others, and we're, you know, we're trying to assist people in prayer, intercede with other people in prayer, and the enemy's always trying to attack the people, and especially attack the person that's praying for those people.
That is true. So, brother, I'm gonna ask you to read some scripture first before you dive into this Bible scripture that we're going to be checking on. I want you to tell me, what is it what you mind coming when you hear this topic, and why Jesus was called Israel, and how we can, you know, kind of like put this into perspective for the people out there.
Well, as you were saying, like, I mean, honestly, that word I never knew in that term, the recapitulation, but like what we were talking about, I understand it is like Jesus came, you know, to fulfill, you know, like he talks about, you know, he came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the things that, you know, Israel couldn't do, because Israel had the law, and they, of course, had the law, but they weren't able to fulfill the law. No one, you know, was able to fulfill the law. Like, you know, the Bible says the law was there, you know, to give them instruction. And God already knew that no one was ever going to be able to perfectly fulfill the law. So Jesus had to come and do that. And, of course, the Old Testament talks about, you know, the law, and it talks about everybody, and, you know, speaks about Jesus being the Messiah, and there's many references to in the Old Testament that we look at now, and we see how it points to Jesus. And there's a bunch of different verses, like you were saying, that we'll look at some, but that point to Jesus from the Old Testament. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I understand about it.
That's good. That's good, brother. And, you know, I think it is true. It is the way you understand it. But let's dive into the scripture. And the scripture will tell us really what is going on in the amazing part, you know, that we need to see in this part. So let's check it out.
So we have, this is Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and I called my son out of Egypt."
Wow. Now, if you see the scripture, I'm talking about in this particular one, the Bible is talking about Israel as a nation, but also Israel as a nation, but also the Lord, you know. And if you remember, first, let's go back before we analyze this part. And in many occasions, what the nation of Israel have experiences in some occasion, the same people repeated again. For instance, if you go in Genesis 12, you will remember that Abraham experienced some type of hungry, right? That the nation experiences some type of hungry, and they had to move from the place that God called him to go. And if you can, just let's go back to that particular chapter, which is Genesis 12 from verse 10 to 14. If you go back, if you remember that, when God called Abraham from his house, he was living in a place that God showed him where to go, but experiences some type of hungry, you know, they had to leave the nation and go back to Egypt. And that's what a description that we want to review, if you can help us with that, brother.
Yeah.
So let's check it out. I don't know why it's jumping. All right.
So Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife, Sarai, look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Let's kill him, then we can have her. So please tell them you are my sister, then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. And verse 14 says, and sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarai's beauty.
And you know, and also in this particular chapter, we can find that one of the other parts that struggled the whole thing for Abraham was that he have to leave that place, but because these pharaohs, he wanna take Sarah. Let me see. I see something is not showing properly. Oh, something came out. That's why. All right. So very good. And so when we experienced this, man, this is life. I don't know why this came out of this session. If you can take care of that. One other camera came out. Sorry for that.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes some things go wrong at the wrong time.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Now it's good. All right. So, one of the things that happened is that Abraham had to leave his house because there was so a famine, right?
Famine. The famine.
Yeah, famine. They have no food, so they had to go to Egypt. And then, once over there, he was afraid and told the pharaohs that his wife is his sister, which in part it was true, but
he didn't want to tell him that it was his wife, though.
Yeah, he was afraid that they might kill him, you know,
take her.
But going back, the Lord released some plague against this pharaoh and his household. And guess what? That incident happened later on. Do you remember when Israel was in, Moses was over there? The reason why Jacob and his family went to Egypt is kind of the same situation. There was a famine, and they was hungry, in the repetition happened again. But once Israel was over there, multiplied, prospered, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. So the new Pharaoh became hostile to Israel, and they enslaved them. And then God raised up Moses, and guess what? The same situation happened with the plague to be delivered, you know. So you see those two incidents right there, brother, that happened. Repetition, right?
Yeah.
The first with Abraham, the second with Israel. But now, what the Bible says right here in the description that you read about the first scripture, about that when Israel was a child, I love him. You see? And I call my son out of Egypt. Who also went to Egypt that it was a child?
Jesus. Yes.
So what do you think? What do you say?
Yeah, so it kind of foreshadows what, you know, with Jesus. With Jesus, the same thing happened. Was something happened in the land, and Joseph and Mary had to take, you know, Jesus, because the king was trying to kill all the newborn babies. So they had to go back to Egypt to hide, and then God eventually, once that king had died, was able to bring them back out of Egypt, back to Israel.
Yes, and because Israel as a nation is a very foreshadow of Jesus. Let's see what Isaiah chapter 49 have to say about that. Let's see, read that portion of the scripture.
So Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6 says, "Listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory.' I replied, 'But my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yet I will leave it all in the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward.' And now the Lord speaks, 'The one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth."
So if you see, it was not literally the nation of Israel who brought joy to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
It was Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
So you see how this has a really, because remember the original plan was that Israel, the nation, bring that joy to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But because they didn't comply, they failed, then Jesus have to do it. Now, let's see another scripture that can tell you exactly the same part. I don't know if you remember, Jesus have to be in Matthew 4, it tells us that Jesus have to go to the wilderness. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think, brother, that Jesus have to go to the wilderness? Because we read that scripture and we might think, oh, because it was a process, or maybe, you know, just Jesus showing us that we need to connect with the Lord, you know, and fast and being tested, you know. What do you think that scripture might tell us, brother?
Well, for me, thinking about it, when it says that when Jesus was led in the wilderness, he was led by the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, into the wilderness. And it says he was literally led to be tempted. You know, he had to go through it, be tempted, to be tested, to see, you know, to go through, a wilderness to go through a time where he, of course, kind of like what you're saying, a time where he needed to trust God and have faith in the Father that he was going to take care of him and why he was going through that wilderness. And so that's one thing I look at, and I know it kind of reflects.
Yeah.
When Israel went through the wilderness, they had to have faith in the Father that he was going to bring them to the promised land. But of course, you know, they wandered off, and that's why he let them wander in the wilderness for so long, because they were so quick after he just saved them out of Egypt. They were quick to go back to not trusting God, complaining, and it had to be, you know, kind of tested and brought through that, kind of tested and tempted to see if they were really going to stay faithful and not, and follow God.
That's good, brother. That's good. So let's see what the Bible say, and then we can dive it into that scripture that I think is so powerful, because it's, when we read those scriptures, we might think, oh, just because I have to do it. No, but what about if everything have to do for what Israel, the nation, failed? So the Israel, Jesus, had to fulfill to overcome that failing that they made.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Matthew 4, 1 through 4. Then Jesus fled by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus told him, "No, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
So that right there, I want you guys to keep thinking about that quote that Jesus made. Where did Jesus get that information from? Because everybody say, oh, yeah, he just answered those. No. Let's see what the Bible said. And if we're going to, I always had a problem pronouncing that. Deuteronomy. Man, I always.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah, Deuteronomy, right? Whatever you mentioned.
Deuteronomy.
Man, I always drunk. All right. So look at what the Bible said in this particular scripture. I love it. And you would enjoy it, this. And just let's see where did Jesus came in with that quote. And also, who were tempting or testing in the wilderness? Because this just the spirit, the enemy took the Lord in the spirit to be tempted on the desert. It have nothing to do just like a very random episode or random action, no? It have a lot to do with the beginning. So let's see.
So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years?"
What? What? Repeat that, brother.
"Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years.
And why do you think they stay there for 40 years? When the reality, it would be just for 40 days. But go keep reading.
"Yeah, through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your
own good." You see right there?
Yeah.
Israel was God's child.
Yeah.
So Now, let's see the context of all this, because right there, you just read a lot of information, yeah, brother. Yeah. First, do you remember that the reason why they have to stay for 40 years in the desert until all the generation passed was because of the doubt? You remember the 12 spies that the Lord sent to to Canaan? Mm-hmm. And out of those 12, 10 came back. I mean, all they came back. But 10 would say that, oh, no, this land is very difficult to overcome. Yeah. There is giants. We cannot have it.
Yeah.
And then 2 out of those, which it was Caleb and Joshua, that they said, yes, but God will help you to overcome this situation.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to them, because you doubt on my power, I just grab you from Egypt. Mm-hmm. I just show you that I'm capable of, but then you doubt about me. Yeah. Guess what? You're going to stay in the wilderness for what? For each day that they went over there, it's going to be a year for you. Mm-hmm. So how many days they went over there? 40 days. Yes. Equal 40 years. Until that generation passed. So you see, but now because they failed on the wilderness, what is it that Jesus did? He overcome. Yeah. He overcome that situation. And Jesus was in the wilderness because he's a child of God as well. And he have to be testing in that particular situation. Yeah. And I love it, brother. I love this similitude.
Well, yeah, because also, like it says, like just as Jesus quoted that verse, that part in Deuteronomy, that, you know, they don't live off bread alone. They live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know, God had told them they were going to be all right. I mean, he brought them out of everything they brought up in Egypt. And he spoke to Moses. He spoke to them and told them that, you know, he's going to bring them to the promised land. But they weren't living on that word that he said. They weren't believing in that word that he promised them and what he said. You know, when they got the manna, they started complaining. Like he said in that verse in Deuteronomy, their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't starve. He fed them manna, but I mean, it kept them alive. You know, he was able to sustain them and they were to live off that manna. But then they started complaining about the manna. Then, you know, if we read on the story, he gives them quail and all kinds of, and he gives them everything they wanted.
Yeah.
But they forgot that besides all that he already had told them that they were going to, he promised them that he's going to bring them out of slavery and bring them to the promised land. And they were supposed to be living on that promise that he said, and they didn't live on that promise. And so Jesus kind of talks about it, you know, when he's being tempted, you know, even though the Lord didn't let him go hungry, you know, Jesus fasted and, you know, he was hungry, but he let, you know, when the devil tried to tempt him, let him know that, we don't live off bread alone. We live off everything that God says, off the word of God. And yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you know, one of the things, Jesus just quote this particular scripture right there, that man not only will live of bread alone, but also the word that comes out of the man of the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Israel, the nation, failed on that test, and that failure cost them, you know, none of them were able to see the promised land. Mm-hmm. Only 2 people out of that generation.
Yeah.
And then their children, of course. But look, Jesus has been taken on the spirit to be tempted on those locations. You know, the enemy put it on the peak of the temple and say, hey, throw yourself in this, because it's written that he will send you angels for you not to touch the ground. I mean, he was just using some description, right?
Yeah.
But guess what? Jesus also responds with scripture. This is beautiful things for me, because when somebody come with any type of idea, by using the scripture to take advantage of that scripture, you know.
Yeah, take it out of context.
Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful and answer that person with the scripture too.
Yeah.
You know, because God never gonna allow you to do something that is contrary of His word.
Yeah.
But even if it's from His word, and you try to make it out of context, because remember, there is something also that can back up whatever you're saying. And I love, brother, the fact that there is a pastor that he say, if the Bible doesn't say, the Old Testament, the New Testament doesn't say, if Jesus didn't practice, if the apostle didn't, the early Christian didn't practice it, be kind of careful,
yeah,
whatever you're trying to implement, you know. Yeah. I agree. So let's see another portion. Now, I know there is one portion that the Bible used, which is in Genesis. But let me jump first to Hosea first. Let's read Hosea, brother. Let me see if you can see it from there. Let me check. Can you see? Too small?
I got it, though. Hosea 6, 1 through 2. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now He will heal us. He has injured us. Now He will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, He will restore us so that we may live in His presence.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So another scripture right there in the same book.
Hosea 13, verse 14. Should I ransom them from the grave? Should I redeem them from death? O death, bring on your terrors. O grave, bring on your plagues, for I will not take pity on them.
Wow. And this is talking about the nation of Israel, but also Jesus. Remember when Jesus died? Death was not overcoming Jesus.
Yeah.
He overcame that.
Yeah.
And He will take him out of this waterless pit. You remember that? In another version, it say waterless pit. And kind of like the same over here, you know, like for instance, the Lord never gonna leave the Lord to die.
Yeah.
Just like the Israel was able to go back as a nation and being coming, you know, guess what? Jesus was able to overcome that. So you see, whatever a lot of portion that Israel as a nation went through, Jesus also went through but overcome them.
Yeah.
And wow. And then this is a good one. And so do you remember Joseph? Do you remember Joseph, brother?
Yeah, in the Old Joseph from the Old Testament, yes.
So you see that Joseph have a lot of things that we can metric or mimic what Jesus did also.
Yeah.
And for instance, let's read, of course, we know that Joseph was called a dreamer, right? Mm-hmm. And we can see that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 19. Just for you guys to see it, brother, you can read that.
Genesis 37:19. Here comes the dreamer, they said.
So that's the brother calling him that.
Yeah.
So read this also.
So Genesis 41:46. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt.
So he was 30 years old when he began basically the most amazing ministry in that particular time.
Yeah.
But guess what? How old was Jesus when he started his ministry?
30 years old.
30 years old, you see?
Yeah. Wow.
Now, look at this. Because, and this is something that you can also match, because Joseph was, he was kind of like the mediator between his family, right? Joseph, the son of Jacob. And what did Joseph say? Jacob, remember Jacob would have changed his name to Israel. Mm-hmm. So Joseph helped Jacob or Israel to protect him from whatever danger they were experiencing. In that particular time was the famine, right? Mm-hmm. So what did he do? They went back to Egypt.
Yeah.
And his brother, do you remember something? His brother, they didn't recognize the first time.
Yeah.
He didn't show off, show them who he was.
Yeah, he didn't reveal himself to them.
Guess what? When Jesus first came, what did Jesus say? They didn't recognize me. Yeah. But when I come back, they will recognize him on the second visit.
Yeah.
You see? And then now look another similitude that I can
similarity.
Yeah. That I can see in Joseph. Who was Jesus' stepfather?
Joseph.
Good, look it right there, brother. Yeah. And who was Joseph from the 12 children? Who was his father? Joseph, the first Joseph. Who was his father? Israel, right?
Israel, yeah.
And who was Joseph, the husband of Mary, descended from? He was from Israel as well. Look at how good. And this the Joseph that was in Egypt from the beginning helped Israel to be saved. But what does Joseph save Jesus from? If you can read Matthew right here in this particular verse, let's read.
So Matthew 1:16, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was called the Messiah.
So do you know, guy, what he did? Wow. He also saved Jesus.
Yeah.
And went to Egypt.
Yeah. Wow.
You see how so much connection?
Wow. I've never even seen that till right now. Wow. So Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, his father's name was Jacob.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love this. I love this because the Bible is so real. And people want to say that the Bible is not real, that somebody invented or something like that. But I'm going to tell you, brother, this is more real than anything else.
Yeah.
I cannot see how much reality you can see right there.
Yeah.
And there is another description. Let me see if you can read it.
It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth, because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood. I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon." Amen.
So what do you think about it?
Yeah, I can't see. Is this the part that's in Zechariah, or is this the one that's in the New Testament? Because I can't see the top. Where is that?
That's the Old Testament.
Old Testament, yeah.
Zechariah.
So that's Zechariah, and it's right there. Yeah, Zechariah 9:9-11. And even what it says right there, because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood. What did Jesus do? He died, and his blood was shed. And so he made a covenant with his blood. So this points exactly to Jesus. And what did he do? He came in on a donkey, just like Zechariah said in Zechariah.
Yeah. Wow. So you see, they rejoice. You see, this happened in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And look, we saw that in Jesus. In Jesus, you know. So, and just for you guys to know what happened in the New Testament, you remember in the book of Acts what happened, the part that we were just saying, you know. Look at right there.
Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh.
So you see, the second one that Jesus would come, he would reveal his identity to his brother. So what do you think about all this connection that Jesus had to fulfill? For instance, on the wilderness, I see something very powerful right there, because Israel, the nation, failed to fulfill God's commandments. Unfortunately, they didn't follow through. They were not able to overcome the test, but they failed.
Yeah.
And that failed cost, you know, bring pain. But guess what? That's why Jesus had to be taken to the wilderness.
Yeah.
Because he had to be tested. He had to be tested. Because my first child didn't pass. Guess what? My second child, who came from above, passed the whole thing. And he gave it the access to everybody to go through the paradise, the promised land. That's why you and I, brother, have direct access because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And in everything that he was testing and everything, he never sinned against God.
Yeah.
Wow. How powerful is this, brother?
Yeah, very.
That no matter what going on in our life, you know, we can overcome any situation that might be causing a struggle to our life. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, thanks to what Jesus did, like you said, we're able to have that. He bridged the gap of the connection back to the Father, because he knew we wouldn't be able to do it on our own. If just like Israel, if you every time you go through the Old Testament, you see they do good for a little bit and they fall away, then they come back to God and they do good, but they could never fulfill it. They could never get it all right. They always would do good for a little bit, and then they'd mess up. And there was no way for them to fulfill that law on their own. Like, Jesus had to come and be the perfect sacrifice, the spotless lamb, to die for our sins. Because, you know, we strive every day to be better and to be more and more like Jesus. But, you know, we're going to have our mistakes. And for me, that makes me, when I mess up, it makes me really realize and sit and think like, wow, Lord, this is why you had to do what you had to do, because I could try my best every day to do my best, and you know, I have some pretty good days, but there's something I'll probably wind up doing that day, and it just makes me think like, this is exactly why he had to do what he had to do, because I can't do it on my own. I'm not able to do it on my own, so he had to come and do that for us.
Yeah, God is so good, because it doesn't matter how difficult life might be for you, for me. He's always willing to help us. He's always willing to take care of business in our behalf. Because I'm going to tell you, there is nobody capable to say, yes, I'm perfect. There is no one good. But guess what? Because of his perfection, because of his righteousness, he gave that to us. And now you can say, yes, I'm good in Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm perfect in Jesus. And he take care of me.
Yeah.
And he give me access to heaven, to the Father. Wow, what a privilege. I was thinking, brother, I was thinking last time I was analyzing, I said, man, how beautiful we are to have this opportunity to live in this particular time, because we can see everything through the Bible, through the lens of the Bible that we went through, that we are here, that we are different, that we, wow, we know, because remember the apostles, they didn't have the new portion of the New Testament. Yeah. They were just acting on them, making on them. So to you and I, we have those two portions of the Bible, and together now we can see the whole picture that whatever they were missing in the Old Testament, we can see it on the new one.
Yeah.
And vice versa. What do you think, bro?
No, yeah, like you said, the New Testament wasn't written at that time. All they had was the Old Testament, but thankfully we have, like kind of like we're talking about here today, we have both, so we can see the Old Testament, and then we could see how it connects to the New Testament, how everything, you know, that God spoke about was foreshadowing what was to come later on through Jesus, and we're able to see those connections and look at it and see, you know, when the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can see that nothing's changed. He was saying the same thing. You know, some people think that the Old Testament is saying something different than what the New Testament is saying, but we can see that the whole time he was saying the same thing. It all comes together. It all matches.
Yes, everything is right there, you know, right? Pure in the eyes, you know. Like, I can see the whole experiences that Joseph experiences as a child of Israel, Jesus had to experience it.
Yeah.
A lot of connection between Joseph, the child, the husband of Mary, which the new Joseph, you see, I read the portion that he was a dreamer. Guess what? How the Joseph, son of husband of Mary, was revealed to him that he need to marry Mary through dream. Yeah. An angel appeared through a dream. So you see a lot of connection right there.
Yeah.
Man, the Bible is so perfect.
Yeah.
And just for anybody to have doubts, Jesus was connecting to David in both sides, with the stepfather and the real and the mother. Just for you, if you have any doubt, let me tell you, God connecting the whole thing, because Jesus would be the descendant of Abraham that will bless all nations through that particular seed. Jesus is the one that blessed all nations. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said that if you bless Israel, guess what? Your nation will be blessed.
Yeah.
It's literally to the physical Israel, but also to the spiritual Israel, which is God, Jesus, you and I through Jesus Christ. So this is amazing. Episode that I think it is powerful, because it shows you that Jesus, God, story about Jesus is very connected with Israel, the nation.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just something that came randomly, you know. It's something that God particularly wanted to show you, because whatever they felt in the past, Jesus fulfilled. And whatever history happened, because if you see Israel, for instance, Isaiah, Abraham and experiences something that he went to a king and told that this is his sister, that his wife was his sister. Guess what? Isaac, you remember? He also experiences the same situation, that he went to a king and a different king, but in the same particular nation, and he had to tell them that this is his sister. Just the same repetition, you know, event by event, and we can see the determination, the connection with God. Mm-hmm. And all of this, I'm going to tell you, all this happened because there is one God.
Yeah.
One God that oversees time, of a past time, his home, beyond the time, after time, before the time, and everything, you know. Wow, how powerful is this, brother?
Yeah, very. Like I said, God is good, and everything he says is true, and he, you know, all the details is so, like you said, people read the Bible, and, you know, at first glance, they think of it as just a book or something so simple, but it's not. As you really study it and really ask God to reveal things like this to you, it opens it up, and you see how complex and how deep it really gets. It's not as simple as just reading a book and reading the pages, and you think, oh, okay, that was, you know, some good information or history or whatever. Like, no, everything's connected. Like, God shows you how everything is connected, and how everything he said he was going to do in the past happened in the future, and everything he says is still alive today. The things he's saying, the promises he has, they're still here for us today as well.
Amen, amen. So we're arriving to the end of this episode. Hopefully that you learned something, you know, something powerful that can tell you that whatever Israel went through, in somehow Jesus have to do it without failing, without singing, and of all, basically fulfilled what Israel as a nation failed to fulfill, and giving the victory back to humanity. Because I'm going to tell you, I always think like, wow, since the beginning of Adam and Eve, when they've failed, God could have terminated right there and finished the whole thing. But man, God love for his creation, for his people, is now something that you can't just foretell, you know, like that. You know, it's something deeper, because he have to kill somebody to allow Adam and Eve to live. And you would say, who? The Bible doesn't say it. How do you think he got those animal skin to cover them? How do you think he got those?
Yeah.
Just by, something. Hello, animal, come. No. So he have to sacrifice. That was the first shadow to present Jesus as a sacrifice.
Yeah, something had to die so that they could live.
Yeah.
So those animals, and he took the animals and clothed them. He covered them just as Jesus died, and his blood, you know, covers us for our sins.
But we don't want to go without saying something powerful, which is the book of I don't know if you have, but I love to read that scripture, brother. Let me see if I can. Have it is the book of Romans. I know. Let me just put it on the scripture, that way you can read it. And that's gonna be let me see. Hold on a second. Okay, chapter 10, verse 10 to 9 to 10. All right. So, you see how beautiful is this? Let me put it on. Right here. And I like this version because it's kind of telling the way how you should do it. Look at this one, bro.
So Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
Wow.
Amen.
And we want you to understand this is very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple to set Jesus in your heart. You know?
It's not it's not so complicated, and it's not something that God doesn't say you have to get it all together and get it all figured out and get everything perfect. Like, no, you just have to, you start with that right there. Well, we just read that verse. That's, if you want to start walking with the Lord, if you want to accept Jesus into your life and you don't know where to start, that is the beginning. That is your start right there. It's not your end, but it's definitely where you start there, and you open your heart and you declare it with your mouth, and you ask the Lord to come into your heart and open your heart to him. And you say it, as it says, believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth that he's Lord. And that's the start of your new beginning with the Lord and walking with the Lord. And from there, it only gets greater.
That is true. So, all right. So, see you next episode. And yes, God bless you.
Thank you all. And we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah.
God bless.
Thank you, Brother Ernie.
Yes, sir.
For being here today. And next episode, we're going to bring another episode.
The youth, right?
Yeah. So yes, yeah, I believe so. I think it will be the youth will be on the last one. We might have to do this episode, coming episode, early, just because Gigi Thursday. Yeah. And
so we'll see y'all.
Have a good one. God bless you.
God bless.